Joining us is Glenn Field. He's warning coordination meteorologist at the National Weather Service. Welcome.
Good morning, Mandy.
I want to start with, it seems like, and I've had a lot of people saying this, is this a cooler, wetter spring than normal? Is it just seem that way? Or
yeah, it just
is it really cool?
That way. April and early May are always kind of grungy around southern New England.
Yeah, so this is normal.
It is.
Well, we had a thunderstorm over the weekend, which seemed a little strange because they're most common in the warmer months. And as we mentioned, it's been pretty cool. Give us a quick reminder of what causes thunderstorms.
Well, so thunderstorms are more common in the summer months because we have the heat that generates them. The warm air, when you heat the ground, especially if it's colder than normal aloft, that makes it what we call unstable, kind of like if you put fire underneath SpaghettiOs, it bubbles up. So the atmosphere bubbles up, and you form cumulus clouds, and they form taller and taller and form into what's called cumulonimbus clouds or thunderstorms. And it's really from the instability that we have. But what's really important is that sometimes, and fortunately Cape Cod is spared by the marine influence of the cooler air, generally speaking, as compared with western Massachusetts. But those thunderstorms, if the conditions are right aloft, strong winds, things like that aloft, can lead to what we call severe thunderstorms with large hail, damaging winds. Have to be 58 mile per hour gusts to be severe by our definition, or 1 inch diameter hail about the size of a quarter or larger. And so that's what we consider a severe thunderstorm. So those can be especially dangerous.
Yeah. Now, many of us have heard the expression, when thunder roars, go indoors. But if we hear a distant rumble, we might not be so quick to seek shelter. Why is it important that even if we hear it in the distance, to get to safety sooner rather than later?
Oh, boy. I'm glad you got to this, because lightning is something I really wanted to talk about. Severe thunderstorms, with the large hail and damaging winds, they will cause us to issue a severe thunderstorm warning, but it's ordinary thunderstorms that occur, all the time, and you won't get a warning for it. And so your only warning is seeing lightning or hearing the thunder. And so we have all kinds of great expressions, but they're really important expressions. When thunder roars, go indoors. Because indoors is the only safe place there is. If you can see it, flee it. And if you can hear it, fear it. hopefully that causes you to remember things. So there's an awful lot of myths out there that I wanted to dispel.
Yeah,
can we go through a few of them?
You bet, yeah.
How about crouching down? If you're stuck outside, you ever hear that you should crouch down,
yeah,
make yourself as small a target as possible, and, now, that's a tornado safety rule where there's nothing else around, cover your head. But if you think about it, lightning striking from 30,000 feet in the sky, 40,000, and it's going to matter whether it's 39,999 feet because you're crouching? I don't think so. The only safe place is indoors, so forget that rule. How about lightning never strikes twice in the same place? Probably heard that one too, but that's not true either.
I say it does.
The Empire State Building gets struck sometimes 30 times in a row, because once it digs its path through the atmosphere, it's very easy to come down the very same channel the next time. Mm. How about you're safe in your car because it's the rubber tires that protect you? Well, part of that's true. You are safe inside your car. Car provides good protection as long as the windows are shut and you're not touching metal. But it's not the rubber tires. It's the outside metal hardtop of the car called the Faraday cage. So if you've ever been in the Museum of Science in Boston, you see a guy inside the cage there, and he's fine. When lightning strikes the outsides of the objects, as long as he's not touching the metal, so lightning likes to strike on the outside of the objects. Anyway, did you ever hear the term heat lightning? A lot of people think that that's not actual lightning. But no, it is a thunderstorm. It's just that it may be too far away and too many things in the way, like trees and buildings, to hear the thunder. So it certainly is a real thunderstorm, but it may have, that's the only exception where if you see it way in the distance and you can't hear the thunder yet, you do have a little bit more time to react.
Yeah, because those storms can move fast, yeah.
Yeah, one more thing, indoor pools. You know, obviously it's not safe to be in an outdoor pool. Water conducts electricity. But even indoor pools are not safe because the lightning can go through the plumbing and all the stuff like that. My son went to a camp up in New Hampshire, and, you know, they were very proactive at getting people off of the lake. But what did they do afterwards? They went back to the bunks, and they congregated outside the bunk or went in and took showers, which is also not good, because you want to stay away from plumbing. So anyway,
good to know. Yeah.
What you should do is stay away from fences or anything metal, obviously. Move indoors, that's the first rule. And don't chance it. We have what we call a 30-minute rule. 30 minutes from the last time you heard thunder, then it's safe to go outside. So don't chance it. Don't say, most likely I'm not going to get struck if I just dash into the supermarket.
Right.
Just wait it out. You don't need to take a chance. Lightning is the number two thunderstorm-related killer nationwide behind flash floods. Now, fortunately, Cape Cod doesn't get flash floods. It's not a very hilly terrain, stuff like that. But lightning is a big threat.
Yeah. So what if you are outdoors and you can't get indoors, and you're saying crouching down isn't going to help you, but what should you do to keep yourself as safe as possible?
Well, that's a tough question, because there is no safe place outside.
Hopefully, yeah.
But there are maybe a few suggestions. Obviously, you don't want to be underneath a tree. People think that that's give them some shelter. Certainly will from the rain, but not from the lightning. In fact, lightning is likes to strike the tallest objects. So if it's an isolated tree, then that's worse than being in a whole group of trees. But it should stay away from trees in general. But if you're in a forest, then there's lots of trees for the lightning to choose from. So that's better than being an isolated tree. That's really pretty much the only suggestion I can have.
Yeah.
If you're outdoors playing baseball, let's say, on a baseball field, whenever that's allowed again, you can, you certainly don't want to go into the dugout, which is open, or anything like that, to seek shelter from lightning. But if you strategically put some school buses around the perimeter of the field, then that's a good place to just run into the school bus. Or, if, you know, that's assuming you can't get into the building or something.
Right. Now, how do we determine how close a storm is to us?
So if you, that's a good question. There's an old rule of thumb that if you count to five from the time you see the lightning to the time you hear the thunder, that means it's about a mile away. So the reason that is lightning is instantaneous. This goes at the speed of light. But thunder goes at the speed of sound, which is 1,100 feet per second. And so it's 5,280 feet in a mile. So it's roughly 5 seconds that it's a mile away. And so you can kind of judge. If you count to 10, it's 2 miles away. 15, it's 3 miles away. But there can always be a first strike, and it's seemingly going away, and then all of a sudden there's another one right near you again. So that's why you can judge how far away it is. But the rule is, if you can hear the thunder, you are close enough to be struck.
Yeah. Now, last year we had two tornadoes touch down on the Cape. New England gets tornadoes each year, but they're not as severe as those in the Midwest. So can you tell us why?
Sure. Yeah, actually there were three. On July 23rd, we confirmed a third one,
two of them
at the same time in Yarmouth, and one in Harwich. And that was a really unusual day. I think there had only been like two tornadoes since 1950 on Cape Cod, and we got three all on the same day. It was a very unusual, we call supercell thunderstorm, long-lived rotating storm that started way out over the waters and formed waterspouts over the waters off of Montauk, New York, and made it all the way to Cape Cod and then actually moved on land, which was very unusual. Like I said, they're very rare on the Cape, mainly because of the cooler waters that usually kind of put the kibosh on severe storms. They're much more frequent out in Worcester County and westward into the Connecticut Valley. But even that is a lot less than, as you said, the Midwest. They get a whole different variety of storms. They get really gigantic, EF5 tornadoes on the scale of 0 to 5, whereas the ones we get are typically 1s and 2s and 0s. I believe all the ones on the Cape were 1s. But that's not to say that you saw how much damage they did. One can be pretty bad. But that doesn't compare with a 5 where your entire house is flattened and even being in your basement doesn't help. But even here in New England, we don't realize it, but it's about once every 10 years we get a Midwest-style tornado. It was June 1st of 2011, you may remember, out in Springfield and Monson. Mm-hmm. We had an EF3 tornado that did a tremendous amount of damage. It was on the ground for 39 miles straight without lifting up.
So where is the safest place if there is a tornado warning?
Well,
is it your basement?
The best place is in your basement. A lot of places here in New England, including myself, don't have a basement. So the next best place is the interior of the building on the lowest floor. Stay away from windows. Put as many walls between you and the storm as possible. That actually works for hurricanes as well, which is something else I wanted to touch on.
Yeah. Before we get to the hurricane, though,
sure.
Getting advance notice of severe weather is obviously important, and many people get text messages now. Is that the most efficient way to get the word out to the public? Does that seem to work? I remember when we had the tornado last summer, all of us, we were sitting around the newsroom, and everybody's phone just kind of went ping, ping, ping.
Oh, right. Okay, so there is what's called the Wireless Emergency Alert System, and that's like, federal system, goes through FEMA, something called the IPAWS system. But anyway, that's for tornado and flash flood warnings. And that was spectacular in that case because it was tornado warning and it went off. But it's not for severe thunderstorm warnings, which are much more frequent, actually. So that's an important point because there are so many of them across the country. We didn't want people to be immune by that cell phone going off all the time and then not believe it when the real thing comes. But severe thunderstorm warnings are not on those, only flash flood and tornado warnings, which is great in the case of a tornado, but it's very rare on Cape Cod. So the best way, or many other ways to get it, through the National Weather Service, is a NOAA weather radio. You can purchase it at your favorite electronics outlet. It's like $25 or so, and it has a warning alarm tone that will alarm whenever we have a severe thunderstorm warning or anything. It can be, they have handheld varieties or the kind that you just put by your bed at night, and it'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning if we have a warning. We're also, you get your daily weather on weather.gov/Boston. That's our website. Your government tax dollars pay for it, so it's weather.gov/Boston. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter at NWS Boston and on Facebook at U.S. National Weather Service Boston.
Right, so,
but there are many private weather services you can subscribe to that will give you a specialized thing or the radar that you can look at. We do have radar on our web page. And you can call that up on your cell phone. We don't have any apps specifically, so those you can get through a private company.
All right, let's touch on hurricanes. We're not in hurricane season, and we will do a future show about hurricane preparedness, but remind us why we shouldn't be complacent about the probability of a hurricane, even though it's been a long time since we've had one.
Well, that's exactly why we shouldn't be complacent, because it's been a long time. The average return period for a Category 1 hurricane, and on the Saffir-Simpson scale, they rate them from 1 to 5, is 13 years for the Cape. And so the last hurricane that we had, though, that actually hit Cape Cod was Hurricane Bob back in 1991. So it's been 29 years, and the average return period is 13 years. So we are more than doubly due for a low-end hurricane. Now, Category 3, which is a major hurricane, the average return period is 62 years, and the last one that we had that hit southern New England was Hurricane Carol back in 1954. And that's been 66 years. So we're in that time frame as well, not only due for a hurricane, but a major hurricane. And I can't tell you whether it's this year or the next 10 years, but we're in that time frame. But there's definitely some rules of thumb that I wanted to mention for hurricanes that come up here. Our hurricanes, we can do this on the hurricane show, but but our hurricanes are entirely different than the kind that hit Florida. Because those are textbook where they move maybe at 10 miles an hour, or, you know, as we saw with Dorian, it hardly moved at all for 5 days. But ours accelerate up the coast, and the average motion as they pass by our area is over 30 miles an hour. That is the forward speed. So the good news is they're in for breakfast and out for dinner.
Right.
But the bad news is that if you want to figure out what the highest wind gust is going to be at your location, there's a neat rule of thumb that you can, if you're on the east side of the storm, so like let's say the storm is moving up over the Cape Cod Canal, then everywhere east of there, you can add the maximum sustained winds. So in the case of Hurricane Bob, say 95 miles an hour, plus the forward motion of the storm, which was 30 miles an hour. So 95 plus 30, they give you 125 miles an hour, which is the kind of gust that we saw on the Vineyard and on the Cape. That rule works really well in the 1938 hurricane. That was the hurricane of all hurricanes for New England. And it was moving north, and it moved up along the western Connecticut-New York border. So all of southern New England was on the right side of the storm, on the east side.
Yeah. And so let's keep our fingers crossed we don't see one of those anytime soon.
It was moving. It had maximum sustained winds of 125 miles an hour, and its forward motion was 60 miles an hour. So if you do the math, what do you get, 185?
Yeah.
Highest wind gust at the Blue Hill Observatory, and of course that's a little higher up, but not that high. It was 186 miles an hour.
That's crazy. All right. Glenn Field is the warning coordination meteorologist at the National Weather Service. We'll get him back in the coming months for a more in-depth conversation about hurricanes and hurricane preparedness. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate your time.